HD 105.1 Great Barrington, WWES HD 88.9 Mount Kisco, WANZ HD 90.1 Stamford, WANR 88.5 Brewster, WAMC AM 1400 Albany.
Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, July 30th. I'm Joe Donahue in for Ray Graff. So what do you know about sake? One thing I learned from our guest just a few moments ago is that it's now pronounced sake. We had a little lesson in the studio. It was kind of cute, actually. It was sweet. John's very reassuring. Well, this is the sort of attention to detail that we've come to expect from John Fisher of the Culinary Institute. He's brought the stuff and the appropriate gear in which to drink said stuff. So learn about the wonderful world about sake with us. You can join the conversation, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. John Fisher, sake, and your calls coming up right after News A.
News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is out with new details of an investigation into a super spreader event in Massachusetts that prompted the agency to start recommending vaccinated people wear masks indoors again. NPR's Rob Stein has more.
The CDC's sudden reversal of mask guidance was a dramatic turnaround. In a report in the agency's scientific journal, CDC investigators detailed the surprising findings that sparked the decision. Hundreds of people got infected during July 4th celebrations on Cape Cod in Massachusetts. Investigators discovered that most of those infections, 74%, occurred in fully vaccinated people. And even more surprisingly, tests showed that the amount of virus in many of those vaccinated people was about as high as in unvaccinated people. The CDC says that convinced the agency that fully vaccinated people could still spread the virus. Rob Stein, NPR News.
President Biden's urging Congress to approve a five-month extension of eviction moratoriums, which the CDC has supported, as a means of protecting the displaced from having to live in crowded settings such as homeless shelters. In the U.S. House, Financial Services Committee Chair Maxine Waters authored an emergency bill to extend the federal ban. She's urging her colleagues to support it.
Is it an emergency enough that you're going to stop families from being put on the sidewalk? Is it emergency enough that you're going to need to wonder what the hell is going to happen with these children?
Republican ranking member Congressman Tom Cole says states need to spend the money Congress has already appropriated on moratoriums.
The funds to address this problem have already been appropriated. But instead, the Biden administration and the majority have done nothing. And now we're being asked to take an emergency action to kick the can down the road yet again.
The current eviction moratorium is set to expire tomorrow. More than 200 people have arrived in the United States on the first evacuation flight for Afghans who worked alongside U.S. troops in Afghanistan. NPR's Quil Lawrence reports the refugees are fleeing potential violence by the Taliban.
For years, Afghans who served as interpreters have been promised a visa to the United States in exchange for their dangerous work. The process has been slow-walked and hobbled by red tape. Now the White House has pledged to expedite the visas as the Taliban retake territory across Afghanistan and threaten to execute anyone who collaborated with U.S. forces. But with few troops left on the ground, the U.S. is limited in how much protection it can provide them. This first flight of about 200 interpreters and their families is just the beginning. As many as 18,000 Afghans have pending applications. Officials say they may fly thousands of them to a third country where they can complete the visa process in safety. Quil Lawrence, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include National Geographic Expeditions trips with Nat Geo experts to more than 80 destinations on every continent, including African safaris, Galapagos cruises, and train journeys. More at natgeoexpeditions.com.
Support for WMC comes from Stone Ridge Orchard, Ulster County, a 200-year-old working farm, opened for the summer season with a farm stand, farm bar, and wood-fired pizza, stoneridgeorchard.com. And Big Elm Brewing in Sheffield, Massachusetts, summer hours Tuesday and Wednesdays, noon to 6 p.m., Thursday through Sundays, noon to 7 p.m., tap room open and curbside pickup available, reservations recommended, information at bigelmbeer.com.
This is WAMC Regional News. I'm Jim Lavoulis. The Justice Department says the Treasury Department must provide the House Ways and Means Committee former President Donald Trump's tax returns, apparently ending a long legal showdown over the records. During the Trump administration, then-Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said he wouldn't turn over the tax returns because he concluded they were being sought by Democrats who control the House for partisan reasons. The committee sued for the records under a federal law that says the IRS shall furnish the returns of any taxpayer to a handful of top lawmakers. The committee said it needed Trump's taxes for an investigation into whether he complied with tax law. WAMC has learned that around 800 employees of Berkshire County's largest healthcare provider remain unvaccinated against COVID-19. WAMC's Josh Landis has more.
In an all-staff memo sent Friday, Berkshire Health System's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. James Lederer, urged the over 20% of the company's 3,600 employees who remain unvaccinated to get the jab. He then spoke with WAMC.
This was, at last, a plea to just say, please, this is still your opportunity to get vaccinated, mitigate your risks, mitigate the risks to your children and loved ones and the colleagues you work with.
Lederer says Berkshire Health Systems does not have a vaccine mandate in place yet, pending full FDA approval of the drugs. The email confirmed a new COVID outbreak affecting more than 20 patients and staffers at the North Adams Commons Nursing Home. Josh Landis, WAMC News.
Under guidance released this week by the CDC, indoor mask wearing is recommended for regions with substantial spread of COVID-19. In New York, that includes New York City and Orange, Westchester, Saratoga, and Greene counties. No counties in western Massachusetts or Vermont meet the CDC's substantial spread criteria. Today, the Massachusetts Department of Public Health said that in light of the updated CDC guidance, it recommends that a fully vaccinated person wear a mask when indoors if they have a weakened immune system or are at increased risk for severe disease because of age or an underlying medical condition, or if someone in their household has a weakened immune system, is at increased risk for severe disease, or is unvaccinated. Also today, the Massachusetts Education Department issued guidance for schools this fall that differs from the latest recommendation from the CDC when it comes to mask wearing. The CDC recommends universal indoor masking for students, teachers, and staff regardless of vaccination status. The guidance from the Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education said schools could allow vaccinated students to remain unmasked. The department said it strongly recommends students in kindergarten through sixth grade wear masks when indoors. It said local districts should make decisions based on their own circumstances. The Massachusetts Teachers Association, the state's largest educators union, had praised the CDC guidance on masking. Meanwhile, Connecticut's health department is recommending that residents go back to wearing masks indoors when in Hartford, New Haven, or New London counties, and said evidence suggests the state is entering another wave of the pandemic. On Wall Street a short time ago, the Dow is down 127 to 34,957, the Nasdaq down 113 to 14,664, and the S&P 500 is down 24 points to 4,394. In the forecast, mostly sunny and breezy today, highs in the low to mid-70s, mostly clear tonight, lows near 50, and mostly sunny tomorrow with highs in the mid-70s. At last report, partly sunny across the region, 70 in Bennington, Vermont, 69 in Cooperstown, New York, 73 in New Marlborough, Massachusetts, 81 in Hartford, Connecticut, and it's 77 degrees in Albany. Now back to Food Friday with Joe Donahue.
Support for WAMC comes from Big Y, a local family-owned and operated market serving communities in Massachusetts and Connecticut for 85 years with local produce and products, meat and seafood, BigY.com. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, Pekarsky's.com. And Cafe Capriccio, Albany, New York, the Rua family hosting tours to Tuscany, focused on hospitality, food, and wine, ruatours.com for details.
Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Joe Donahue. John Fisher has been a dear friend for a very long time, and I am thrilled that he is in the studio with us this afternoon. He's a culinary professional for over 37 years, a graduate of Swarthmore College and the Culinary Institute of America. He has experienced all aspects of the restaurant business as a bartender, a cook, a restaurant manager, a sommelier. I think he's even parked a car or two. He's written books on cheese service and French comfort food and many articles about various beverages. John currently teaches wine, beer, and hospitality management at the CIA, the Culinary Institute of America, in Hyde Park, New York. He is a certified sake professional. That last bit is very convenient because today on Food Friday, we learn about the wonderful world of sake, and it is a great pleasure to welcome John Fisher to the program. Welcome back. How are you?
What we're doing? Sake?
Sake.
Oh, okay. Sake.
Sake.
I am well. I am very well.
It's always good to have you on the program. I love talking to you, and it's very good. If I'm not texting with you, I like talking to you, and it's just
and
very nice
in the same
to be
room.
Being in the same room with you, which we have not had the privilege of doing for quite some time, so it's good to see your face, and I welcome you to the program. I welcome everyone who is listening. If you would like to learn a thing or two or have a question or teach us a thing or two about sake, all you have to do is call us, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-34-TALK, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. So let me just, I should have asked you this prior to the show, but I forgot because we were talking about other stuff. But have you done a show on sake with Ray before?
This is my first.
Okay, cool. So for the audience, this is new.
This is brand new.
Now, when did you become a certified sake professional, and how come I wasn't invited to the certification?
to the parade
yes,
afterwards?
Yeah.
It was obviously pre-pandemic, and you know that the way this has messed with our brains, it just throws off any attempt to figure out how long ago it was. There should be a new dating system that just subtracts 18 months.
We meet. Well, we're having the 2020 Olympics in 2021,
exactly, right.
And it
That's
doesn't
not
really
confusing
seem to
at
bother
all.
Anybody.
No. I saw the site like last night watching it. It's like, Tokyo 2020. I was like, wait, ow.
That's, no.
Anyway.
Everyone else forgot that year.
Late spring, open spring before the pandemic. And there's a gentleman named John Gauntner, and he is arguably the number one Western sake educator and expert. And he has a certification program that travels around a little bit around the country for the first level. The second level, which I want to take someday, only takes place in Japan. You have to go to Japan to become an advanced certified sake professional. So it was actually in Brooklyn at the brewery, because sake is beer. It's not wine. It's not rice wine. It's rice beer. Technically, you don't have to call it rice beer. But it was in a brewery, which is called
Akura. That's because it's not fruit, right?
Right.
Okay.
Last time I checked, rice grains are not...
Right.
You know, strawberries.
And wine, to be wine, would have to be fruit.
And technically cider is wine because it's fermented apple juice, which is fruit juice, which is technically wine. So so the course was held at the Brooklyn Kura. Kura, K-U-R-A, is the Japanese word for brewery. And we actually have a couple of their products today. One very cool one I haven't tasted yet that I brought it partly because you were going to be doing the show. You'll see why when we get there.
What does that mean?
You'll see. So I took the course there because, I don't want to make this go too long because we need to get something to drink. I have things to drink. I need to give you something to drink.
Yes.
But there's a sake brewery being built less than a mile from campus in Hyde Park by arguably one of the greatest sake producers in Japan. So this will be the first Japanese-owned sake production facility on the East Coast.
Now, is its position and location connected to the CIA? I mean, the reason that they're doing it there is because of your involvement?
Yes.
Not you, but
not me personally.
The institution.
Although it was pretty cool when the president and the chairman of the company met me and they called me sensei.
Oh.
Because I'm the sake teacher.
Explain your garment. What are you wearing?
Oh, this is called a happy coat, H-A-P-I. And a happy coat is what I've been deemed worthy of wearing when I talk about sake.
You're Mr. Happy?
I didn't. Yeah. I'm going to leave it at that.
Look, Mike, John's happy today.
We're going to get happier when we start drinking sake. So Dasai Sake is produced by a company called Asahi Shuzo. And the Sakurai family, they became, I'm not going to say we interviewed people because it's a mutual agreement that when a sake brewery was going to be built either on our campus or close to it, that we would be working with them one way or another. So we've signed a letter of agreement, and we're going to be essentially going to be their communicators to the American public, trying to get Americans to drink more sake on a regular basis.
And a way to do that is to introduce it to students who you'll be sending out into the world so that they also can bring this knowledge with them to wherever they wind
up. Who will be leaders in the restaurant world and will say, oh, I remember that sake that nut job Fisher made me taste. And I liked it. And it goes with corn dogs. So it can go with corn dogs.
Well, that's good news. If you have a question about this world of sake, all you have to do is call us, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1. We have lines open. We'd love to hear from you. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org.
So I'm going to pour something for you.
All right. Let's see. All right, and John is leaning over to glass number one, and so far I see a very clear liquid. Are they all usually that clear?
Yes and no. You'll see some that have some color a little bit later as we progress into other ones, and you'll see one that's actually cloudy. That's a style called nigori that has some rice powder added back into it that softens the mouthfeel and changes the flavor a little bit to almost tasting a little bit like honeydew rind or maybe an underripe honeydew melon. And it's actually those sake are really good with fried food. Yeah. underripe melon, my favorite.
Mm.
Well, you're a big help, Joe. Anyway, we're tasting the most expensive one I have here today first.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what would this run us? Show
I'm
me the bottle.
Wait.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm
going to
wait.
Right.
It comes with this fancy purple paper on top.
Oh, that's great. You could use that to wrap a small present.
Tie your hair back. Yeah. Put on your dog. I'll give it to Sarah for her dog, Doritos. Anyway, this is Dasai 23. The sake is made by the Asahi Shuzo people.
Now, I don't want to miss that. But so do we attack this? May attack isn't the word, but do we approach this as we would in tasting wine, in tasting a spirit that you have brought in the past?
Well, more so a wine than a spirit because it's lower alcohol. Interestingly, though, most sake is, and I was going to talk about the pronunciation. It's like the word socket without the T. So it's not sake the way most folks pronounce it. It's sake.
Right.
And so it's sake, and that's both the singular and plural. So you have one sake, two sake, three sake, four. And I don't even know why I said that. But this is...
I don't know, but you suddenly sounded Canadian.
That might happen at some point.
Yeah.
When I retire. Anyway, so this is produced by Asahi Shuzo is the name of the brewery. The product is called Dasai, so it's like Anheuser-Busch and Budweiser. And this is their 23. Now, part of the process of making sake...
What does that mean, 23?
I was just
okay,
going
all right,
there.
Go ahead.
Thanks for the segue. So it's called 23
help,
because
John.
part of the production process, the rice is... The outer surface of the rice is removed. It's ground away. They call it polishing. And what happens is because the rice has most of its proteins, fats, lipids, et cetera, everything except starch is concentrated in the outside surface, the bran. So when you've seen brown rice, it's brown because it's got the bran on it. White rice is white because they took the bran off. Now, the sake producers go a little overboard in this step because they keep removing that outer surface to get down to pure starch kernels. And
so that's a stripping, basically.
Yeah, they call it polishing, even though polishing, you know, we think of it as being shiny. It's actually removing the outside surface. And the semi-boy is the percentage of rice that's left after the polishing process. This is 23% semi-boy, which is almost unheard of because they removed 77% of their main ingredient before they started making the sake.
Okay, so 23% of the rice grain is what is in here that makes
left.
100% of the beverage then.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So let's, first of all, kanpai. You have to say kanpai.
Kanpai.
And give it a taste.
I believe in the native tongue that means happy 40th anniversary WAMC.
Yes. That's the colloquial derivation.
Well, that's lovely. Yeah, that's lovely.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, no, that's lovely. We have to take a break, but I have some thoughts on this, and then I would like to ask you a question that you dodged a moment ago. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with our good friend John Fisher from the Culinary Institute of America. We are talking about the wonderful world of sake on the program this afternoon. We welcome your phone calls, 1-800-348-2551. You know you have questions. You can also write to us, voxpop@wamc.org. We will be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Pioneer Valley Food Tours, Northampton, Massachusetts, offering guided tours and more, highlighting local food producers and their seasonal specialties. PioneerValleyFoodTours.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine and spirits retailer for over 40 years, providing products from classic to new labels, spirithaus.com. Honest Weight Food Co-op, Albany, local and sustainable groceries for all, kitchen, bakery, organic, juice bar, and garden patio open daily, honestweight.coop for information. Mother Earth Storehouse, a Hudson Valley natural food market offering organic and natural items, including bulk items such as pasta, dried fruits, coffee, tea, and spices. Career opportunities available, MotherEarthStorehouse.com. And Del Mar Farmers Market, featuring local and organic farm products, baked goods, and fair trade crafts every Saturday from 9 to 1 at 332 Kenwood Avenue, DelmarMarket.org.
Talking about sake on the program this morning. It's Food Friday, or this afternoon, I should say. Thank you very much, Mike. We tried our first one. You said something interesting going in. You said this was made by the, and then you gave us American names of companies that they would be the like the Budweiser. What did you say?
Just Brewer. I think I said Brewer, because the brewery itself is called Akura. And the company that produces this brand, essentially, is called Asahi Shuzo. This is Dasai Sake, and this is one of their products that they make.
Okay.
It's their main sake.
So when you said that, I thought, like, large mass production. Is that necessarily the case or no?
Actually, most of the sake breweries in Japan are pretty small.
Okay.
Some of them are mom and pop. There are some big ones. There are some that I think would be more analogous to. No, it could be. It could be a parallel to American brewing because we have there are huge companies like Gekkeikan that make a lot of sake in Japan and in California. But then there's craft beer, and there's craft sake. So the thing that's different though about the smaller craft sake producers in Japan is that they've been doing it for hundreds of years. I mean, there are kura that are 400 or 500 years old. So they're very tradition-bound in some cases. That's the opposite with Dasai. They're very technologically minded.
Now, you are much more experienced, being a certified master and all.
Well, not master.
I'm sorry, a certified sake professional. Yeah, we'll get you to the second course if you're ever allowed to leave the country. But let me ask you, so what is your take on what we're drinking of its taste? And the question that I thought maybe you dodged a little bit was I was asking you, do we present, do we approach it the same way as we do with wine, where we think of, as you know, my buddy Bill and I, we collect Irish whiskeys. And, you know, we're very much
the best whiskey.
Yes, it's yeah. So, but we're interested, much like people who are interested in wine. You do the smelling, you do the notes, you do the tasting notes, and all of that. So, is all of that applicable here?
Yes, and I think I did kind of start answering it. It's because sake is more, because it's a fermented beverage. First of all, it's not a distilled beverage. It's not vodka. It's not shochu. It is beer, technically, even though it doesn't look or taste like the beer that most people know. It's a little bit stronger in alcohol than wine because it's beer. American Western beer is, you know, usually 4 to 8%.
Yes.
Wine is usually 12 to about 14.5.
Correct.
Sake starts at about 14.5 and then goes up to 20.
What's this that we're drinking now?
This is probably 16 or 17, since it has to be on the label by
law.
So
that's probably a reminder that you want to get your questions in now. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1.
Yeah, 16%.
16%.
So that is, yes, you can. You look at the color, you check for clarity. We have one.
You don't chug it.
Yeah. You, if you want. I'm sure that the producer might not mind that. But the...
not our producer.
No.
The producer of the, right, sake. Of the sake. Okay, got it.
Yeah, actually, both producers might have an argument with it. But it is, it can be appreciated and judged the same way you would judge wine. Not spirits, though. Spirits are harder because they're so high in alcohol. The ABV is so high that when I judge spirits, I smell them first with my mouth open to
let
some air in. But sake, I will, and there are different characteristics.
Now, you're swirling. You are swirling.
Because I can't help myself.
Okay, so you're just...
I swirl iced tea. I swirl milk.
I got you.
You put a glass in my hand with liquid in it, and I start spinning
right,
it
but
around.
You wouldn't expect us to necessarily
do
that.
No.
Now, so kind of the, I don't know what better word to use, so I won't use a word, I'll just use initials. So the BS that we're often told about whiskey is that if you put it around the glass and you watch the tears of the liquid come down the side of the glass... Is that applicable here?
Yes. Tears, legs, whatever you want to call them, all they tell you is viscosity. And viscosity comes from one of two things, either alcohol or sugar. And so when you are assessing a wine, do I look at the legs? Do I look at the tears? Honestly, no, but because they really do not figure heavily in my judgment of a product.
If it is good or bad,
right.
If it is, or what it goes.
Well, it can tell you what the body of it is.
Okay.
And body is very important when you're pairing beverages with food. So if the legs, tears, whatever, are thick and slow, that means it's going to be viscous and full-bodied, which means it would go better with mac and cheese than if they're thin and they drop quickly on the glass, then it's going to be light-bodied, and it would be better with raw fish.
Okay. Now, when would you recommend drinking this in the course of a meal? Is this before, after, during, paired with, all of the above?
This one, early, because it would probably be with light food. This is so delicate and so...
So I wanted you to explain it. Just give me an explanation of how you would, in a sentence, describe this in a menu as to what we were about to address.
Well, first of all, I would call it beauty in a glass because it is just so crystalline and
but
aromatic.
I would read that and my eyes would roll back in my head.
And then you would hate me because I sounded pretentious. This would be great with with the sashimi, with like a whitetail.
So a little heat.
Raw fish and almost no sauce because this is so simple and kind of perfect in its simplicity.
Yeah.
We're going to get to some if we can keep going with them and give you more of them. I have one
that
would
be... I think that was a shot, Mike.
Yes. It would be great with like braised pork with shiitake mushrooms.
Okay.
Like it's got funk and earthiness to it. So the generally the progression of any beverage with a meal is the lightest one first, and you start building intensity because a menu should build an intensity as well.
One of the things that I have noticed, I took a drink before the break, and we have been back for 5 minutes or so, and I've noticed that the after effect seems to be like a sugar, like a
glycerin sweetness.
Yeah, or? Yeah, that well, sort of remains. Is that accurate?
There is some residual sweetness in this. And that can be to its benefit when you are.
I agree. That's beneficial.
With serving it with certain foods, but also just the fact alone as to how long this finishes shows how well it's made. And they actually do the filtration process is called pressing, which is another confusing term. But they use a centrifuge as opposed to traditional Japanese. Machines.
I want to take we have a phone call. I want to take that, and then I want to, and then you poured another sake for us, and I want to try that. I just real quick though, the first one that we tried here, and I don't mean this as any this is not a criticism in any way, but it is not intense in flavor. It is very subtle.
Yes, and that's one of the key things of sake. There's a saying in the world of sake that sake doesn't fight with food, and that it helps food to show, it shows food better, and it kind of takes a back seat. There are some wines that do that, like Pinot Noir, especially European Pinot Noir is famous for being a wine that will make food taste better and kind of hide a little bit, and sake can do the same thing.
Let's go to the calls. David in Wurtsboro. Hello. How are you?
Hey, it's me. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
My question was about, I actually spent 6 months in Osaka, and I did drink probably more than my share of sake. I've been a sake fan for many years. I even make a martini, which I call a Toratini, which is... sake, vodka, and you drop a little one of those little little tiny ears of corn in there. But is soju?
Yeah.
Hope I pronounced it right. But is that a derivative of sake?
No, not really. And there's shoju and soju. One's Japanese and one's Korean.
How do we spell that?
I know I've been corrected on that one before. I have in fact been corrected.
Right. Well, I wasn't trying to correct you, but anyway, shoju, S-H-O-J-U, and that is distilled. It is a distilled product, and it is distilled usually from rice, but it can be distilled from sweet potatoes and basically anything that will ferment when yeast hits it. It is usually not as strong as Western vodka. It's usually can be in only the 20s or 30s of alcohol by volume. It is more intensely flavored. You can't drink as much of it as you could sake. But it has been getting much more popular along with Japanese and Eastern cuisines as they become more popular in the country.
David, thank you very much.
I have a difficulty finding either sake or soju up here. In New York, it's not that available.
Depending on where you are, obviously being near an urban center is better. But I just found a great store in Kingston Wine Company, that has a great selection of sake. In New York City, of course, there are some great stores. One's the size of this studio and the studio is kind of small, called Sakaya. And they're on the Lower East Side, and they do mail order. So you can, and there are internet companies that are selling sake online as well. So
right.
You can get it shipped. As for finding a store or a restaurant that has a great selection, depending on where you are, I'm in Hyde Park, and there's no one yet. But there will be somebody making it there soon.
Yeah, so I'm sure it'll infiltrate its way into local venues. David, thank you very much for the telephone call. We welcome your call. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1, 1-800-348-2551. We also encourage you to write to us, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. So now the
You're not used to that phone number, are you?
No,
another
not.
One almost came out.
You know, I used to do this show regularly, and now I don't, and I usually just do it when I'm, like, today I'm filling in for Ray, and I have to look up. I don't know if you know this, but it's right over your head, so I have to keep up looking up. And that's how I remember it. So this one now, correct me if I'm wrong, this one seems to have more, not a color exactly, but
a tinge.
A tinge, yes. It does not seem as clear.
No. It is as clear. It's just a different color. Clarity has to do with how well it's filtered. Now, the first one we had is from the Yamaguchi Prefecture in Japan. This is from the Brooklyn Prefecture in New York.
Okay. All right.
And this is from Brooklyn Kura, founded by Brian Polan and Brandon Doan. Not Japanese, fairly obviously, but they started, I think, about 4 years ago. And I met them when I was getting my certification from John Gauntner, because our class was held in their brewery. And we developed a friendship, and they're great guys. And, you know, despite the fact that there are a lot of hipsters going to this brewery, it's also great stuff. So this is their number 14. It's actually a derivative of their 14th recipe that they came up with. It's a Junmai Ginjo Nama. So Junmai, in the classifications, the official classifications in Japan, officially they're done first by how much rice is removed.
Okay.
So the base level is called Futsushu, which would be like saying table wine. And one step up is called Honjozo. Honjozo would be like the first time you get a bottle instead of a box or a jug of wine. So Honjozo is the first level of quality sake. And Honjozo has to be 70% semi-boy, so 30% of the rice removed. Oh, by the way, I forgot to also mention that sake rice is twice as expensive as regular rice. It is only 1% of all the production of rice in Japan, and that's because when the kernels grow, the starch is concentrated in the center of the kernel, and it's called the shinpaku. You can actually see it because it's this cloudy center in the grain of rice, and that makes it easier to get to pure starch as opposed to a blend of proteins and fats and starch.
Now, I have a bunch of questions here that I want to get to, so we'll try this one.
Take
yes.
It, yeah.
Okay.
Kanpai.
What he said. Oh, that's okay. So that does not. How do I describe that?
It's a tiny bit sweeter.
It is, but it doesn't seem. It seems more clearer in. What's the word?
It's a little bit lighter in body.
There you go.
A little bit lighter, more watery on the palate.
Yes,
which is not a bad thing. This has a little bit more flavor, a little bit more.
Now, is this a smart question to ask?
They're all smart.
The last one was a 23. What would this be?
I think, does it say on the bottle?
If not, just make
it
on
their website. I think it's about a 60% milling rate. Oh, there it is on the bottle. 50 to 60%. So that means that they removed between half and 40%.
Okay. Well, so that's quite a bit. Yeah, okay.
That could still make it, if it's 50, it could be the highest grade in Japan, which is called Daiginjo.
Now, this seems to be lower in alcohol content just in my tasting of it. I don't know if that is true or not.
That might be just because it's colder.
Yeah.
Because it's in a big bottle and it was all the way in the ice.
So,
but they say 15%, so it's about 1% lighter.
So let me ask these two questions from our listeners, and I think they're great questions, because one of them I was going to ask you, I started to ask you during the break, and I said I'd save it for the show, and then I forgot. Will writes, please talk about serving temperature and sake, both in general and he wants you to talk about Nigori sake.
That's a great question. I was prepared to actually demonstrate both of those answers because I have an aguri and I have a cup of sake, a bottle of sake sitting
well,
here.
Well, it seems like there's no time like the present. Except we have a break, so let's just do the break. I'll get that out of the way, and then when we come back, you can do your... So here are the two questions for you. We have several questions, but this one is the one I just read to you about serving temperature, and then there's another question that says, I've only had sake warmed. Is it good cold as well? And that's from Jim. So we'll answer both of those in one fell swoop when we come back to the roundtable right after this. Nah, it's the Vox Pop. That's the name of the show.
Support for WAMC comes from River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Elisa Spungen-Bildner and Rob Bildner, authors of the Berkshire's Farm Table Cookbook, with 125 recipes in stores and online, berkshiresandbeyond.com. The Barn at Egremont Village Inn, hosting the Tangiers Blues Festival on Saturday, July 31st, an all-day event co-sponsored by Big Elm Brewing. More information available at theegremontbarn.com. Taste New York at Todd Hill, a market offering New York-made food and beverages 10 miles north of Route 84 on the Taconic State Parkway. Taste New York Todd Hill on Facebook. And Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Riverfront Park. Now with live music, troymarket.org.
All right, John, we have 19 minutes left to talk about temperature and to knock back the rest of the sakes that you have in front of you. So let's talk about the questions that we have before us.
Okay. So serving temperature is kind of another one of those American myths that sake is served hot or warm. And sake, the truth is that it is the only fermented beverage that can properly be served at different temperatures from freezing cold to screaming hot. Now, I don't recommend either of those because one hurts and one you can't taste. But cold, like refrigerator cold, is usually where you serve the first two that we had,
yes,
which are premium and lighter in body.
Now, I found those both because of their temperature just to be delightful.
And they would be fine at room temperature, but they wouldn't be as floral and filled with minerality.
Because there's minerality. But there is a crispness there, too.
Yes, and crispness very often is a combination of minerality and
temperature
and acidity.
Acidity, okay.
And there is acidity in here, in these sake. You don't notice it the way you notice it in wine because it's not that obvious, you know, malic or lactic acid in your face, but there's acid in there. Now, serving temperatures, I guess I should probably serve the warm one now because there's some others that I want because we only have 19 minutes left. So this was warming up in...
that was 3 minutes ago, but go ahead.
What appears to have been Allen's coffee mug.
It was this morning. Yeah, but all right.
Well, now it's got sake in it. Hey, that would be a surprise for Alan. So hand me your glass because I don't want to spill it.
There you go.
So this is a sake from the Amabuki Brewery in the Saga Prefecture. And this is made with what's called flour yeast. Now, one cool thing that there are, even though there's a lot of tradition in sake, there are some people who are doing interesting things. And flour yeast is yeast that has been collected off of fruit flowers and propagated in a lab and then used to brew sake. This was brewed with marigold flowers, not from fruit, but from marigold flowers.
Okay. And so the color is, I mean, it is sort of like a very weak tea,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah, it's like a pale straw is what I would call it.
Okay.
Or a medium straw. That's like fancy schmancy beverage terminology.
I thought it was Sherman Williams paint colors, but go ahead.
Who makes up those names for paint colors?
Well, you just did.
Anyway,
pale straw.
So this is made with yeast from marigold flowers. Now, it's kind of hard to do because the flower yeast tends to be a little weak and is hard to propagate.
So,
but it makes something, some very cool sake.
So where does the rice come in? The rice and marigold?
Okay. So sake, the process, I have to, well, first of all, we got the temperature thing covered, I think. A range of temperatures are proper. Hot sake in a sushi bar, usually that's done for cheap sake because it hides the flaws. However, some great sake like this one, from Amabuki Brewery, can be served warm, especially if it's like the dead of February and it is snowing outside and you're having like a short rib stew with shiitake mushrooms in it. And you don't feel like having, you know, beer with it, or you don't feel like having a big honking red wine. This warmed up and served with that dinner.
Yeah.
Could be absolutely lovely.
Now, that has a little, to me, it has a little spice to it. It has a little zing to it.
And you are correct, sir. It's a combination of flavor. There's also a tiny bit of bitterness, which is nice,
yes,
on the finish. This is actually recommended by the brewery to be one of theirs that's best for serving serving warmed. And I've never had it before. In fact, I've never had most of these that I brought. And it is just...
Aw, you waited for me.
Yeah, yeah, because you matter.
Thank you.
So this is... This I could see with...
I matter along with the 400,000 people
listening
to the show.
Actually, you know what this would be good with? This would be great with like Easter ham. This would be so good with ham.
Well, this is lovely. I have to say, what I find interesting, and maybe this is silly...
I also notice it's not screaming hot. It's
no.
Warm.
Well, I was going to say, that's exactly my point, was that you put this in a typical thin wine, small wine glass, which obviously if it were hotter, it would break. So this is warm and lovely.
The highest temperature usually for quality sake would be about 120 Fahrenheit.
So you don't have to put it like in a mug or anything.
I mean, no. When you get that hot, you're driving away the flavors anyway, and you're not going. It's not going to taste the way you want it to. This is, you know, wine at this temperature would be weird.
It's the power of suggestion, John, and I guarantee you, I would never have said this had you not said it to me, but you can taste the marigold.
You know what? They say that in their materials about this. It smells and it tastes like marigold.
As it should. As it should, you know? Because that's what it's derived from.
And we might not get to it because I have some others I want you to try. But I have their strawberry.
Oh, break it out there,
here.
Man.
Okay.
Let's go.
Well, I want you to have the juice box one, too, with the little dog on it.
All right. No, so what do you do? You put this, pack this for the kids' lunch? What do you do with that?
In Japan, I guess. In Italy, they would do it with wine for a 12-year-old.
Did you get the juice boxes for the kids?
Hey, we're late. Get to the bus. Wait, take your wine.
Make sure they have their IDs with them.
No, do you want strawberry or juice box?
Well, I want both eventually, but let's try strawberry.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll hand the juice box over. You can sip from it whenever you want, because it even has this cool little extendable straw.
Now, is that the way you should be drinking it, out of a straw?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this is something that they say about this sake, which it doesn't happen in this country very often, but this is what, if you're leaving work in Japan and you're getting on the metro or the subway or whatever they call it, and you want to have a little sake and the subway train with your while you're reading the newspaper.
Remember that song, A Little Sake on the Subway Train? Wasn't
yeah,
that a hit?
I think I wrote it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the juice box, or it's technically called a Tetra Pak. And this is Lucky Dog, actually imported by some friends of mine down at Skernick
Wine. I feel like
Wine.
The lucky one. Lucky Dog, and this is made, it says premium Japanese sake.
It's from the Nara Prefecture, which is actually the most important in
product
Japan.
Product of Japan.
And they're famous for the water source there. Miyamizu is the water that a lot of breweries use in the Nara Prefecture. And it is genuinely great sake in a juice box.
Now, like all good juice boxes, 13.2% alcohol.
Well, in some cases, that's after you put the vodka in the juice box. But so that is...
Nathan seems very sluggish tonight.
So that is the No,
I don't dislike that. I have
thanks
to,
so much.
All right, I have to come clean. At one point today, I texted John, and I said, "Am I going to like this stuff? Because maybe you can bring it, you know, make me an old fashioned at some point." And John said, "I packed 10 sakes, and I think you are going to like these, and you're absolutely right, sir. I very much like these. These are
oops,
very
sorry
good.
For the
I should
noise.
Have trusted you. After
you
years of friendship,
me.
I should have known to have trusted you.
Oh, I wouldn't serve you crap.
I know. Okay,
so
now
this
I'm
the strawberry one.
Okay, I am confuzzled. So this is the one. This is
that's
the strawberry.
The strawberry from the same people who make the marigold one.
Okay,
so this
and
is Amabuki again.
A similar color.
Yep, completely different smell.
Okay. But I don't smell citrus. No. You think so?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, but 37 years I've been doing this.
Right.
So.
Because when you said marigold, I thought I smelled marigold. I do not smell strawberries in this, but I haven't tasted it
but
yet.
But think also good. What real strawberries smell and taste like as opposed to strawberry
like
ice cream and strawberry
fake.
Candy.
Yeah.
Right. It's like real strawberry is a different flavor than the capital S strawberry.
You know those strawberry popsicles? Is that strawberry?
The ones that leave your tongue red for a day?
Yeah. I'm allergic to those. Every time I eat those, like my chest just breaks out in hives.
Then as the doctor would say, don't do that.
I don't do that anymore, no. Strawberry shortcake is what usually what they
yeah,
are.
Oh.
Yeah, the good humors, yeah.
Yeah, I always gravitated towards the chocolate ones and toasted almond.
So I'm just telling you that story in case I break out in hives.
I don't think you will. But this
well,
is...
I still don't taste the strawberries, but I do sense a citrus
and a fruitiness.
Essence. Yes.
A fruitiness. And this, you know, I would say put this with like an arugula salad with peaches and goat cheese.
You know, like you do.
Which I actually do.
No, I know you do. I long for your food nightly as you plate a beautiful meal and
it's
and
the only
share
reason
it.
Natalie married me. That and the bartending.
No, that's not true. Okay, so
oh,
this is...
She'll call in. She'll tell you.
All right. Let's see. Let's get to a question here. We do have some, and I want to get to those. Now, you've reported another thing here. What is that?
That is either the warm one or...
No, I have the warm one. The worm ones over here, and then I have strawberry, and then there was one that did you pour another
that's
one prior
marigold?
To that? I don't know.
I think
oh,
I only
maybe
gave
that's
you
the
marigold.
Second one. Okay, okay, I got you.
Oh yeah, so that's the Brooklyn.
That's the second one.
That's
I got
Brooklyn.
That. Okay,
and I give you a dump cup because you only have five glasses.
Oh, I got you. Okay,
so you can dump out.
There you
so
go.
I can give you. I'm going to give you one of the ones that is a surprise to a lot of people.
It's a dump cup. Yeah, here you go.
I'll teach you all the secret words.
No, I know.
So let's see. Hand me an empty glass, and I'll give you what's called Nigori, which one of the colors
oh,
asked
that was
about.
One of the questions about Nigori. Now tell us about Nigori.
So this is not only Nigori. This is a sparkling Nigori. And sparkling Nigori, this is actually very low in cloudiness. Usually they're much cloudier. So Nogori means...
But I would say that's quite
yeah.
cloudy compared to anything else that you have served to us
right.
prior.
So they usually are cloudier. And by law in Japan, all sake has to be filtered. But then, and I'm not going to talk about the older, how Nogori first happened and it was, you know, rushing through the filtration process.
Not in 5 minutes or not.
Right, no. So they, now to make it cloudy, they add rice powder back in. At towards the end of the process. So this smells, oh God, there's a candy or a kind of a gum that it smells like. I can't remember it right now.
I hope you don't take offense to this. It's not an overly attractive smell.
It smells, it's minerality. It smells a little bit like, you know, the green foam at florists that they stick the flowers into?
Well, yeah, that wouldn't be overly.
Listen, if you want to smell, get some weird smells, read that Harold McGee book again.
Okay.
Which, by the way, you did a great interview with him, with his book Nosedive.
Yeah, isn't he amazing?
I sat next to him for an afternoon at Culinary one day. What a great guy.
Yeah.
And surprisingly tall.
There you go.
Which you've heard
we
before.
We stick together.
So give
all right,
a taste.
So this is Nigori. Now, why would somebody write specifically about Nagori in the sense of is its popularity?
Well, they probably wanted to know if it is considered still high quality and what to do with it. It is very high quality. It's a little bit more becoming more popular in the United States than Japan. It is.
I like the mouthfeel. I don't really like the taste.
It is so good with fried food. This good. With fried calamari, and it would be just, you know, there would be angels singing and the bluebirds carrying the banner down to you saying, drink more, eat more. they do that if you put the birdseed out for them. But yes. This is, I've never had this one before either.
Oh, really?
I told you.
And what do you think?
I like it a lot.
Okay.
And I can see it going with a lot of great foods. Now we have time.
Yeah, we have about four minutes or
one
so.
One more.
I just have a quick question for you. Kate said I bought a bottle of sake in Japan in 1985 and it's still unopened. Is it any good?
No.
Okay. What's the shelf life, do you think?
Well, at least not for drinking. Maybe.
putting flowers in or something?
Flowers or polishing brassware or something. Sake is perishable the way beer is because it's beer. And I know that the Dasai people want this one, our first one we had, they want it consumed within 3 months of being shipped. And they store it at 0 degrees Celsius. So freshness is important, especially in the more delicate ones. But and we won't have time to get to it, but we can taste it after. I have one that's been aged for a year.
And in a can?
In a can. And cans, like just like these, this is called cup sake, by the way. And you're supposed to drink it directly from the cup.
Oh, this was the one that you did warm,
yeah,
right?
Well, no, that's...
that's a different... Oh, I see. But this is the strawberry one. And yeah. It looks like a World's Fair glass.
It's actually New York City.
Yeah.
And that's New York City.
Oh, it's New York City. And look at that. And that's this is like, you know, the old Flintstone juice glasses that you would get from Welch's.
My first beer ever was Rheingold from a Flintstones glass when I was 5.
Been all downhill since then.
Uphill. I teach booze at the culinary.
But that's cool packaging. Good for them. Now, yeah. How many do you buy that like by a single bottle, or do you get those in
a
6-pack?
It's like $5-6 in a store.
Okay.
And so, and again, this kind of packaging is what's going to make sake popular with Americans because it's not like this. Oh, I didn't never told you. The Dasai 23 would retail for about $80.
Oh, all right.
See?
Yeah, I mean, that's you know.
Considering that it's one of the best made.
I'm an Irish whiskey guy. That ain't bad.
Right. Now, hand me another glass so
okay.
I can give you your last
one. All right,
one.
We have like 30 seconds left there, but we can
sorry, Mike.
Knock that back in 30 seconds.
So this is called a Yamahai, and Yamahai is a part of the process. Where during the starter process is a more old-fashioned method, and it yields a more full-bodied and earthier, funkier, some people would say stinkier, style of sake. But this should smell mushroomy.
Ooh, that's good. I would hate to run out of time for the stinky sake.
Oh, there's the music. Anyway, at least you got the stinky sake. But this would be great with, like,
well, that's not bad. I like that. No,
but,
that's nice.
But addition of mushroom cream sauce.
Oh, that yes, yes. No, that's lovely. Well, we are out of time. I want to thank the many people who wrote to us. And if we didn't get to your letter, we didn't get to your call, my apologies. I'm sorry. John Fisher has been our guest from the Culinary Institute of America. And we thank him very much for his expertise in sake. Thank you very much, John. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
As always.
Support for Food Friday comes from Olivia's Organics, offering natural organic juices in 5 blends, cold crafted in New England and available at Hannaford supermarkets. Gloversville Sewing Center, Gloversville, New York, a quilt shop offering Bernina and Janome sewing machines. We're worth the trip. GloversvilleSewingCenter.com and Berkshire Agricultural Ventures. BAV supports local farms and food businesses by providing financial and business assistance for viability, growth, and the local food economy. BerkshireAgVentures.org. Thanks to our engineers, Zach Malloy and Mike Bowen. They tag team today. Thanks again for joining us on Vox Pop. We'll be back next week with Medical Monday. to talk, or Monday, as we say when we're sober, about neurosurgery. I'm Joe Donahue. Stay tuned now for the best of our knowledge.
This is Northeast Public Radio, WAMC-FM HD 90.3 Albany, WRUN HD 90.3 Remsen Utica, WAMK HD 90.9 Kingston, WOSR HD 91.7 Middletown, WCEL HD 91.9 Plattsburgh, WCAN HD 93.3 Canajoharie, WANC HD